Blog Talk Radio.
Issues making this super challenging for our final podcast of the season. Ryan Whitfield, the senior staff writer, on the line with me. Ryan, how are you doing? Hope you're doing better than I am right now.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. So, next one.
All right, so that's good. So that's 50% of us going on 100% here, because I am all over the place. I can tell you, I would bore you with all the details. But I'll just say that technology kind of sucks, okay? So I'll just leave it at that, and we'll just get right to it. So let me ask you, you must be getting pretty excited coming up on the Super Bowl. You got something special planned for Super Bowl weekend?
Oh, yeah. Got some of the boys coming over Saturday night so we can get it kicked off the night early. Gonna drink away the nerves because I don't think I'll be able to sleep Saturday night otherwise. Gonna get up, cook all day Sunday, and then, for the seventh time in the last 16 years, we'll sit down and watch the Pats in the Super Bowl.
Just
so.
Had to get that. Just kind of had to go rubbing in on that one. Just couldn't let that one go. Had to say something about it. So let me say this. I am actually really excited about the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a great matchup. But what I did was I actually got a hold of the menu of the food that they're going to be serving at NRG Stadium, and I'm trying to replicate some of the food they have there. And I can tell you this. If I can do it, everybody at my Super Bowl party is going to die from heart disease because it is ridiculously unhealthy for you, but it looks incredibly tasty, I can tell you that. So, like, they got some short ribs, grilled cheese sandwiches. These things look amazing, totally amazing. So I'm looking forward to this.
I feel like the people of Texas eat like that 7 days a week, and most of them live past the age of 30, so you guys should be okay.
Yeah. All right, good. I got a few months left on my lifetime then. That's good. I'm glad I got that going for me. All right, so we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, just really quickly, the Pro Bowl. Then we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Then we're going to do some prop bets. That'll be kind of fun. So without further ado, let's get rolling. So, you know, the first thing I want to talk about is the Pro Bowl, because they actually changed it up a little bit this time around. So be honest, Ryan, did you watch any part of the Pro Bowl or the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge?
I did. I watched about a minute of the Skills Challenge, and then I watched about a minute and a half of the Pro Bowl. And both times,
wow,
I immediately flipped back over because it's striking, the difference between that and the NHL weekend festivities. So I tried to watch it both times. Both times I ended up going back and watching the NHL Skills Competition and the NHL All-Star Game, because I think it's pretty much the only one for either the skill set or the actual game that's watchable in all four major sports. So they got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the play I did see was on the first drive. I see Demaryius Thomas catch a pass over the middle, and I don't remember who the corner was that hit him, but he hit him about as hard as a Mighty Might would and grabbed him by the legs, and they both kind of laid each other down and cuddled on the ground for a second. And I get it, because if you blow out a knee in the Pro Bowl, you're not coming back till week eight. So I wouldn't want to get hurt either.
Right.
But that's why they should just cancel it or make it flag football. I mean, I guess Robert Edwards, 97, the Patriots running back, blew out his ankle in beach volleyball in a beach football game, was never the same again after the Pro Bowl. So I guess there's nothing you can do to eliminate all injuries, but it just shouldn't be tackle football, because it's a joke and it's so boring to watch.
So I can say this, though. Lorenzo Alexander totally laid out Jimmy Graham in the fourth quarter. I mean, like, Jimmy Graham was pissed that he got laid out. And I thought, hey, some guy actually cares about this game. That's great. And honestly, it was actually on a last drive of the game when they were down by one score. So at least, you know, 3 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes, maybe being a little generous, was actually watchable. I thought that was an improvement over regular Pro Bowls. And actually the Skills Challenge, I actually thought was more fun, but not because the Skills Challenge itself was cool, but because the guys on the field doing the Skills Challenge were having a good time. You know, I mean, they were really having a good time with it. And if they're having a good time, then I can enjoy that because I think, oh, that's fun, you know. But they got to do something. You're right. The one they got going right now is not working. They really got to change things up.
Comparison between that and the NHL one, like having them on the same weekend, it was just, it's crazy just how the different quality of it. Even if your Chicago boys didn't show it for me on Sunday night, so.
Right. Well, you know, it's night and day. And actually, to tell you the truth, I don't mind the NBA All-Star game either because it's just a whole bunch of showboating for the entire game, which is fine by me. As long as we know what we're getting and it's something that's entertaining, I'm okay with it. You know, it doesn't have to be a competitive game, but there's no showboating in the Pro Bowl and there's no game in the Pro Bowl, so, you know, what can you do? Although they did have a big stand, you know, Ezekiel Elliott couldn't make it in on 3 tries at the on the 1 foot line, so that's kind of interesting, you know. I don't know if it was trying or something.
Must watch TV.
All right, anyway, so we wasted enough time with the Pro Bowl. I'm sure our listeners are all signed off by now, so let's go ahead and ring the bell on that one. All right, let's get going on the big picture here, the real big ticket item, and that is the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 51 this weekend, Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. Oh, boy. Sunday, 6:30 p.m., Fox. Over-under is at 59. Patriots favored by 3 still. Oh, just, you know, the Patriots having an amazing history, as you heard Ryan kind of talk about earlier on in the intro. They've been there a lot. They've been there a lot. And they've won 4 of them all within the last 16 years. And the last one, very, very memorable, making a hero out of Malcolm Butler, and he's actually become their top corner since then. On the other hand, though, you got the Atlanta Falcons, and they actually have only been to the Super Bowl one other time, and this is their big chance to actually come away with the Lombardi Trophy. So they don't have the history that the Patriots do, but they're coming in just as hot. So tell me, give us your thoughts, keys of the game, key matchups. What do you think about this matchup between the Patriots and the Falcons coming up in Super Bowl 51?
Yeah, so I'll get to the game in a second. I do have to get something off my chest after watching Radio Row all week. I hope to God there's some Atlanta fans listening, because you guys are a bunch of honks. Oh my God, is it insufferable? The play-by-play radio guy from Atlanta, who I can't even remember his name now. He was a quarterback for the Falcons in the 90s. So that should tell you all you need to know about how good of a player he was. But he was on a Boston radio show this week, the one that's simulcasted on Comcast Sportsnet, and he actually went as far to say. And I'll say before I get into my analysis that I think that Atlanta could win this game. But he went as far to say that if the Atlanta Falcons play their game, the Patriots cannot win this game. Not won't, not might not, cannot win this game. And that just shows you there's every once in a while you get, you know, I think I kind of equate it to the Carolina Panthers last year. You get these places where football's not really relevant a lot of the time. They're mainly college football areas, so, you know, they just discover the NFL's still going on when their team gets relevant for a year. And they come into the Super Bowl week making claims that the Patriots cannot win the game if Atlanta plays their game. Horse crap. Anyways, moving on.
okay.
I think the keys to this game, I think both teams have done a good job this week. You know, aside from Devontae Freeman, you know, not a lot of chatter.
Really, his agent, right? I don't know if it's Devontae Freeman.
Well, you know, the agent comments and then the comments that I think it was late last week where he said that when they were asking him about what they have to do to beat the Patriots, and he came up to the Patriots have to stop us, we're the unstoppable one. The only thing I would caution, and I know there's a lot of weapons on this offense, I would caution the Atlanta Falcons and all their fans and anyone who's really riding high in the Atlanta Falcons to go back and look at number one offenses in this game historically. You know, and this is not the 0-1 Patriots defense, but, you know, you heard a lot of that same stuff with the St. Louis Rams in 01, with Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk, and, oh, they have so many weapons, and how are you going to stop them? And it just, these games are so different than that. We don't often see shootouts in the Super Bowl. And the reason why I don't think we're going to do this game, again, is because, you know, I've kind of got it down into my head that, you know, as I've said the last couple weeks, I'm off the Matt Ryan's going to choke thing. I would love for it to happen, and I still leave the door open like a 5% crack that he could slip in there and do that this week, but I'm not banking on it. So I think what the key here is the Patriots are going to do is I think the Patriots are going to make this a tight, frustrating game for the Falcons. The Patriots don't give up big plays on defense. Regardless, even in their bad years, even in 2011 when they had no business being in the Super Bowl, that defense did not let up big plays. They don't. And if they think that you're capable of doing it, they'll sit Devin McCourty 30 yards back. He can run sideline to sideline about as fast as anybody. He takes the best angles out of any safety in football. So you're not going to get past him. The Patriots just don't give up those type of plays. So it's not Julio Jones and Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu are not going to turn this into an aerial show where they go flying up and down the field. I think this is a game where you could see the Falcons score on 3 out of every 4 possessions, but they might only get 6 or 7 possessions. And if 1 or 2 of those drives is a field goal, then you're talking that you're holding the 24, 27 points in that range there. I think the Patriots combat this fast, hard-hitting defense with a lot of LeGarrette Blount. This is a defense that's a little bit undersized, and I think this could be a big game where you get Brady handing the ball to LeGarrette, going downfield, running over people. I think the other key for the Patriots on offensive side is to go with a lot of 2-back sets. I've heard some things about that Atlanta's been really good at the bringing the slot and corner blitzing the last couple weeks. I wouldn't do that against Tom Brady. He'll diagnose it and beat you on it. They are smart enough, unlike the Steelers, to mix and match where they put Vic Beasley. But if they start running Vic Beasley up the middle, I think you're going to see a lot of shotgun two running back sets. And they're going to dare the linebackers to cover. They're going to dare the linebackers to cover James White and Deion Lewis in the flat. Send them both out in the flat. Find the worst, find the better matchup. Hit the guy and go, kind of deal. So, I think there's a lot of ways to combat this defense. You got 4 rookies starting over there. They have a really young, undersized secondary. I don't think that they have enough to stop the Patriots. I think both teams are going to score at a pretty even clip. And like I said, the important side, I think, on the Pats on the defense. Is to hold down the big plays and make Matt Ryan and that team be patiently driving 12, 14, play drives. And I think you'll see similar, if the Pats get the ball to start, I think you'll see similar to what they did against Seattle 2 years ago, where they come out and now Brady threw a horrid interception at the end of that drive. But I think you'll see them come out and do a 14-play, 8-minute drive and get him right down the red zone. And they're going to try to keep Matt Ryan off the field. And we'll see in that moment. Because I think that's the game plan against these good offenses, which is why you always see them slow down the Super Bowl, is because the game plan always is, not just ball possession, but go down and score, which the Patriots offense will have no problem doing anymore than the Falcons will. But you slow down the game, and you make them play a really conservative, hard-fought, patient game. And, to use a cliche, which I hate doing, but, test the Falcons championship medal in this game. And we'll see if they have it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and reiterate some of the points you made here. And I actually think they're all very valid, that this is going to be a really interesting game to see how they end up trading punches on offense. But really, the defense is going to mean a lot more here. And it's pretty clear to me that although the Patriots haven't been a shutdown secondary, they've been very solid in secondary, and as we said last week, they are the 4th-ranked run defense in the NFL, and they showed that again, locking down the Steelers, and both Le'Veon Bell when he was on the field, but also D'Angelo Williams, who is not he's not mincemeat here. He's actually a solid NFL running back. So at the end of the day, I think one of the key matchups is going to be Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. No matter what you think about them and what they say, they have been really, really solid. They've combined for 19 rushing touchdowns and 5 receiving touchdowns this season. Kevin Coleman is ranked 1st, and Freeman is ranked 6th best in the NFL in pass catching. Freeman actually converts 83% of his targets into positive plays, whereas Coleman converts 78% of his targets in the pass game. So, they are incredibly deadly on the ground. And how they match up against this Patriots run defense that has still not allowed a single 100-yard rusher this season is going to be really interesting to me. I think that will actually be one of the turning points in the game. And then flipping it on the other side, I think what you said about LeGarrette Blount is absolutely accurate. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Patriots scheme their ground game against the Atlanta Falcons, because the Falcons do have a significant weakness on defense against the run. They are ranked 29th against the run in the NFL, and they haven't really been able to stop anybody, but they have been able to keep them out of the end zone for the most part, just allowing a lot of yards. And just to make my point, they allow 4.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs, which is the 4th worst in the NFL. So, you know, you get a good ground game going with LeGarrette Blount. You get a good ground game and pass-catching game going on with Deion Lewis, James White. You could really cause a lot of damage down there very, very quickly on offense. So it'll be interesting to me how those two matchups play out. And I really do think that those two matchups are going to determine the game, not Matt Ryan or Tom Brady, because they're both excellent, excellent quarterbacks. I don't see any of them, either of them, making huge mistakes during this game. But, you know, one mistake can be the difference. Both those guys don't generally turn the ball over. I think it's going to be on the ground. I think that's where the difference is going to be. It's going to be a very close game, a very interesting one to watch all the way around. So let me ask you that question. In terms of defense, you talked about the Patriots defense, you talked about the Atlanta Falcons defense. Do you think there's anything that the Falcons can do in order to try to contain Brady, or do you think this is just a lost cause for them?
Yeah, I think that they have to try to move. You know, I just disregard Dwight Freeney so much. I think he's such a non-factor. The thing that I don't like for Atlanta, and I don't want to come off, you know, I call the Falcons fans out for being honks, and I certainly don't want to be a Patriots honk here. I think the dangerous thing is, you know, and I know that there's a lot of bulletin board material out there for the Falcons right now, that a lot of people are, you know, talking about, well, what's Brady going to do when he gets the trophy? And what's that presentation going to be like? And what if he gets a Super Bowl MVP and it's like almost like a foregone conclusion the Patriots have won? So I think the Falcons, you know, have every reason to play the disrespect card there. However, I think the Patriots offense has every reason to play the disrespect card, because all I've heard about, and I've probably watched about 60 hours of coverage so far, and all I've heard about is this Falcons offense. And it's like, it's mind-boggling to me. It's not like the Patriots are coming in with the 12th best offense and a good defense, but, you know, didn't really play anybody all year. They have the number 3 ranked offense, I believe it was, in points scored this year. This Patriots offense, you know, I hear about Matt Ryan threw to 13 different guys, threw touchdowns to 13 different guys this year. Now, I did this in my head, so I might actually be short one or two. I'm definitely not over. I know myself. But but Brady threw to 10 different guys for touchdowns this year. So it's not like the Patriots have 4 weapons to throw to. That albeit one of those weapons was Gronkowski, who's out. But the matchup issues I see for the Falcons are, and this is where I really think the X factor is in this game, and God, does it pain me to talk about running backs this much. But I think LeGarrette Blount is the X factor here, because what I see happening is, that, as I said, Dan Quinn's not afraid to move around Vic Beasley, and you have to, because you have to rush the Patriots up the middle. First of all, I hear that's where their weak spot is, because they got all the young guys there, and it is, because their tackles are solid, 2 of the best tackles at the positions in the game. But it's always been rush Brady up the middle. That's always been the formula. If you come up the middle and get at his feet, that's how you can disrupt his timing, his rhythm, all of that. So I think that's going to be the plan. But Vic Beasley, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's like 15 and a half sacks and 23 tackles this year. He's awful in the run game. So unless they're doing twists and exotic rushes, so let me just go through piece by piece. If you move Vic Beasley over the center, what is Tom Brady instantly doing? He's checking into a run play, and he's going to let Beasley, who's a little bit more of a finesse rusher, get run over by LeGarrette and get into the second part of the defense, which is even more undersized. So that's not really a great plan. Now, the other way you get there is you do twists. You know, you do exotic things where you know, if you're in a 3-4 or 4-3, the inside, the tackles or the nose guard, you know, twist to the outside, and then Beasley wraps around the inside. Well, Brady gets the ball out in under 2.5 to 3 seconds. So is Vic Beasley fast enough that he can come around, past his defender, through the offensive line, get untouched, and get to Brady in that amount of time? I think there's so many matchup nightmares on that side of the ball for the Falcons. And I think that the Patriots are going to be smart. And I referenced this last week, and I'll reference it again, that on the other side of the ball, because we're talking about the running backs being X-factors, I believe it was the regular season game, not the one where the Patriots came storming back, but it was the 2013 game, or the 2014 game where they, no, it was the 2012 game, sorry. One of the first years Manning was there, and they just beat up on the Broncos. And after the game, Aqib Talib said, well, hey, Manning's smart, so we showed him cover 2 all day. We knew he'd check into the run, and that's what he did, but that's what we wanted him to do to slow down this offense. Because Manning knew that was the better play, but it's not exactly, you know, that's going to limit your offense from being, you know, making those chunk yardage plays to get downfield. And I think the Patriots are going to do a similar thing against Matt Ryan. So my thing is, you know, not in the passing sense, but in the rushing sense, if LeGarrette Blount and the running backs have a big game, then I think that means the Patriots win by double digits, because that means Atlanta is going to play right into what the Patriots – that means that, you know, hindsight would be that Atlanta played right into the Patriots' hands. I think they're gonna flood those receivers. They're going to come in a lot of nickel and dime sets, and they're going to dare Atlanta be patient enough to run the ball down the field. And, I think you couple that, I think that's the game plan for the Patriots. Make them run the ball, make them frustrated and move the ball slowly, and then you just pound the ball with Garrett Blount. And then, you know, a lot of short, you know, if they show you zone and do a lot of those short routes, and then if they're coming, they're playing man, then I get the pass receiving running back for the Patriots, and Lewis and White moving out of the backfield to catch the ball.
Right, right. So I agree with all that. And the other X factor I will throw in there is I'm going to be interested to see how much Malcolm Mitchell does, because the Falcons are actually surprisingly good at defending wide receiver ones and twos, ninth best and tenth best in the NFL. So he'll have to. Brady will probably be able to expose them on the outside if they in three wide receiver sets, maybe four wide receiver sets, if they decide to go that route. I'd be interested to see what type of contribution he has. That could actually be important. And on the other side, I think that Taylor Gabriel may be a little bit of an X factor for the Falcons. It's entirely possible he takes one punt return back for a touchdown or does something that really changes momentum of the game. And it only takes one, I think, in this closely matched game to really shift momentum. Okay, so we're going to get to decision time. Before we get that, I want to go through a couple prop bets for Super Bowl 51. So this will be kind of fun because we haven't done this before. So let me go ahead and ring the bell on this, because we're going to move on to some prop bets. Okay, so this is going to be fun. Let's go, and I'm going to ask you, the last thing I'm going to ask you is the over-under and the winner. And I have an idea who you think is going to win this game. But let's go ahead and start with the first prop bet. This is going to take, I'm sure you're going to do a lot of studying for this one. Coin toss, heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. I'm with you on that one. You know, tails actually comes up more often than heads in Super Bowls. All right, team to score first in the game, New England Patriots or Atlanta Falcons?
I'm going Patriots.
I am also going Patriots, and actually that is the favorite pick right now in Vegas. First scoring play, a touchdown or a field goal or a safety?
I'm taking a touchdown.
I am going to go with a field goal. I think there's going to be a couple jitters on that first drive. They're going to play conservative. All right, will the team that scores first win the game? I know the answer to this one for you.
Yes.
Okay, and that actually is the favored selection in Vegas as well. And I'm going to go with no on that one. I think we're going to buck the trend this year. Team to score last in the game, will it be the Patriots or the Falcons?
Patriots.
I think that it will be actually that was a toss-up for me. I actually don't know how that's going to go. I would pick the Falcons just to take the other side of the coin, because quite frankly, that's a pick'em in Vegas right now. Both of them have equal odds of actually happening. All right. Which will be the highest scoring quarter? First, second, third, or fourth?
I'm going fourth quarter.
Yeah, I'm going fourth quarter too. I'm looking for some fireworks in the end here. Longest touchdown yardage in the game, over 52.5 or under 52.5?
I'll pound the under.
You're going to pound the under? Oh, interesting. I'm going to go with the over. I think that either Brady or Ryan is going to connect on a plus 52.5. All right, longest successful field goal in the game, over 47.5 or under 47.5?
I'm going to go over. I think
over.
I think both teams are going to be desperate for points in this game. Or I think every possession is going to matter, and I don't think you're going to get one of those. You know, they could go for it, but they're going to play field possession and punt the ball. I don't think. I think both offenses are too explosive. You can't leave points on the board, so I think somebody's going to attempt a nice deep kick in this one.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, if per team, I feel more comfortable with this. Gostkowski generally doesn't kick field goals in the 50-yard-plus range. He only only 2 for 4, I think, this year, or something along those lines. So I don't think they would take a chance on that, per se, but I can see Matt Bryant trying one, or I can see Gostkowski or Bryant trying one at the end of a half or at the end of the game. But I'm going to go the
other. Gostkowski hit like a 52-yarder. Gostkowski hit like a 52 or 53-yarder in a nice cold November night in MetLife last year, so he's got the distance to do it.
No, I have no doubt, but they don't give him a lot of opportunities at 50 plus. I mean, maybe it's just a function of they were scoring touchdowns, but you know, he doesn't get a ton of opportunities to do it. So, first turnover of the game will be a fumble, interception, or no turnovers in the game.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say both teams are gonna play a clean game. I got no turnovers.
Wow, you should go to Vegas and bet that one because it's plus +650. $100 will net you $650. So you should you're really betting against the odds there. I like it. I'm going to go with an interception. I think there'll be one interception during the game. I don't know which side it's going to be on because, quite frankly, Brady and Ryan just don't throw interceptions. But I'm going to go with one. All right. Will a two-point conversion be attempted in the game? Yes or no?
No.
No. Okay. And I'm going to go with no as well. Will there be a missed extra point?
Indoors, so no.
Yeah, I agree with that. Will there be an onside kick attempt?
No.
I'm going to go with yes. I'm just for fun, because I think that'd be fun to see. And will a special teams or defensive touchdown be scored?
Nope.
Yeah, I agree. Both these defenses aren't that opportunistic when it comes to that. How many times will deflate or deflate feet be mentioned on TV during the live broadcast? Over 1.5, under 1.5?
Oh, way over. At least 5.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they don't say that like at least a dozen times. That's a given right there. All right.
They'll say it 3 times in the intro when they talk about the last time the Patriots were here and what had happened just before they got here. So absolutely.
Right.
They'll go over all day.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. How long will it take for Luke Bryan to sing the U.S. National Anthem? Over 2 minutes and 15 seconds or under 2 minutes and 15 seconds?
I'm going under.
You're going under. I'll take the over because I think he's going to try and stretch out his time in the sun there. And what color will Lady Gaga's hair be when she starts her halftime show? Is it going to be blonde or any other color?
Oh, you got to play the field.
Yeah, there's no way that she doesn't go pink, right? With all the stuff that's going on out there, the pink hat and stuff, I have no doubt she's going to go pink. I don't have to pick a color, but I'm with you with that. Any other color. All right, last question. Over under, 59. Will they make the hit the over or the under?
It's 59 even?
Yes.
Oh, man, well, I'm pushing because my score hits 59 exactly.
Okay, pushing is this. I'm going to say it's going to be the under. I actually think the defenses will actually step up on both sides. And last question, who's going to win this game?
I'm going Patriots 31-28, and I don't think there will be an onside attempt because I think the Pats will take the ball with about 5 minutes to go, and they'll eat up the clock and drive down the field and drive in for one last touchdown. And I'm calling it to my man Danny Amendola. I think he was great in the last Super Bowl, and I think he's going to be a huge X factor that no one's talking about in this game.
Yeah, I like it. I like that a lot. But I'm going to pick the Falcons. Just to even this out here, I'll pick the Falcons. But you know what? It's going to be a 3-point game. I think it's going to be a 3-4-point game. It will definitely be one score. Anyway, that's all the time we got. You can follow me, FB Garbage Time. You can follow Ryan at Ryan Whitfield, M-E. It's N-E, right?
N-E, yeah. And bring the Atlanta Falcon hate to me now through Sunday.
All right. And that's all we got. And enjoy the Super Bowl.